Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brahma Tejo Vanir Muktaya Atmajai Sahakrishnaya Payana Bimukham Krishnam Idam Maha Pratasati. Thus saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons, and Draupadi addressed Krishna as he started for home. Purport. Kunti is described herein as sati, or chaste, due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas. They knew nothing except Krishna, and therefore the Lord was always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. One should not therefore look for help from imperfect living beings or demigods, but one should look for all help from Lord Krishna, who is competent to save his devotees. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help, but the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. Om Gyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So, Suta Goswami is now narrating the history of Maharaj Prickett in request to the inquiries of the sages of Namasharanya concerning the speakers and hearers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are nine processes of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam, hearing, is the first process. Hearing is the first essential. And the acharya, or example of perfection by hearing, is Maharaj Prickett. So we're going to hear the history of Maharaj Prickett, and his history begins before his birth, actually, when he's in the womb of his mother as the last remaining descendant of the Pandavas. And we see that at the end of the battlefield of at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, we've seen in this chapter how the whole Kuru dynasty is lamenting and mourning the death of all the members of their families. And then as Krishna is about to leave, Uttara, the wife of Abhimanyu, Abhimanyu is the father of Maharaj Parikit and the son of Arjuna. So Uttara, who is holding the mother of Maharaj Parikit, who is now in her womb, approaches Krishna in great fear. Pahi, pahi, mahayogam. Pahi. Please protect me, please protect me. And then it's understood that Ashvatthama, who was just previously insulted by Arjuna, for he was being punished for killing the five sleeping sons of Draupadi, is taking revenge by again releasing the Brahmastra weapon, which is directed to the womb of Mother Uttara. And actually his Brahmastra burns the embryo. But Krishna, who is within the heart of everyone, manifests within the womb of Uttara, manifesting another body for the soul of Maharaj Parikit, and saves them. He saves his devotee. So, again, I mentioned before, this is a very sweet section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where we actually see Krishna's direct personality and how he is exchanging lovingly with his devotees. And we see the mind of his devotees and how they are thinking and appreciating him. And that mind that the pure devotees express, to have that mind is the goal of life. So here now Krishna is about to leave. And we're going to hear Kunti's prayers. She's already feeling separation. It's separation and union. Krishna is there before her, but she realized that Krishna is about to leave. So her sentiments of attachment for Krishna will manifest. And here it's being described in this particular purport, that Kunti, who is described as sati, or chaste, is going to begin to address Krishna. The Prabhupada in the purport describes that Kunti is described here in as sati, or chaste, due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. So her mind will be expressed. The mind of a devotee, the nature of a devotee, is intense affection for Krishna, the intense desire to satisfy God, Krishna. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas. This was their mind. They knew nothing except Krishna. And this is the mind that we should desire. Of course, Krishna means Krishna, and Krishna also means Krishna and his expansions and his differentiated parts and parcels, which are directly connected to him. They knew nothing except Krishna, and therefore the Lord was always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. Krishna is ready to help the devotee. Again, this point is going to be highlighted here, which is a essential point of Krishna consciousness. I mentioned again at the end of the ninth chapter. The ninth chapter is the most confidential knowledge. And what is the most confidential knowledge? That Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reciprocates the love of his devotee. It's described that in the Bhagavad Gita, that those who who worship the demigods. There's such an arduous process. And what is the result? Shine punye marta kritam valoka. They come again back to Martyaloka, the world of birth and death. For the devotee, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta priyate. If he offers a flower, a fruit, a water, Krishna accepts it. And even if the devotee doesn't have bhakti, but he has the intelligence, or he doesn't have full, pure devotion, but he has enough intelligence or devotion to at least offer the results of Krishna, then he gets vimukti, yat karoshi rasnasi, that next verse says, whatever you're doing, it may even be doing fruitively, but if you give the results to Krishna, you get vimukti. So it appears there's some impartiality on Krishna, favoring his devotee. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Samaham sarvabhuteshu name dveshastanapya. I'm equal to everyone. I have no hate or like. But for my devotee, I favor him. But that's not an imperfection, a defect in Krishna. That just means that he's a person. It's a defect in a person if he doesn't reciprocate and respond to those who love and serve him. So Krishna's reciprocation and favor to the devotee is part of his transcendental nature. It's not under the law of karma. If he did not do that, he would be impersonal. And to be impersonal is a defect. Therefore, Prabhupada said that is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. So when we take exclusive shelter of Krishna and we depend on him because we realize we are dependent on him, then when he sees that sincere dependence, then naturally he's more attentive and reciprocal to us. And part of his reciprocation is his protection, is his maintenance. That's why one of the six qualities of surrender is that you see the Lord as the protector, is that you see the Lord as the maintainer, because you experience that by taking shelter of Krishna and surrendering to him, which means to depend on his will and desire and to serve his will and desire. Then when you do that and you serve him in that way and surrender to him in that way, you experience fully his shelter and his protection in any circumstances. No matter how difficult your circumstances are, if you can understand what Krishna wants you to do and react to those circumstances in those ways, you are protected, you are maintained. Next verse. So these are her prayers and her mind. Kuntyuvacha namasye purusham tvadyam ishvaram prakrite param alaksham sarvabhutanam antir bahir avastitam. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything. Yet you are invisible to all. So Kunti is offering her obeisances to Krishna. So this is actually, from a point of etiquette, it's unusual and improper, because Kunti is the sister of Krishna's father. Kunti Devi is Krishna's aunt. So Prabhupada said, such an enlightened lady could not commit a mistake by offering obeisances to her nephew. So therefore Kunti, because she offers obeisances to Krishna, she explains herself. And she says, namasye, I offer my obeisances, bow down, Purusham Tvadyam. Purusham Tvadyam. You're the original person. You're the original person. And you're the original person beyond the material nature. All other beings are within the material nature. You're beyond the material nature. You're not an ordinary person. And why is Krishna beyond the material nature? Because Ishvaram Prakrite Param. He's beyond the material nature. He's the original person, and he's Prakrite Param. He's beyond the material nature. Why is he beyond the material nature? Because Ishvaram. Because he is the controller of the material nature. And Adyam, he's the original. He's existing before the material nature. This is like Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam, Krishna says in Brahma Samhita. And the supreme Ishvara, I mean the cause of all causes. So she's explaining basically Krishna's position. And he's Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam. No, he's Antir Bahir Avastam. He is within and without. He's inside and outside of everything. This is his inconceivable potency. And Kunti Dev, she understood this because she saw Krishna in the womb of Parikshit, and she saw him outside. So she saw that Krishna is within and without. Prabhupada, I think, discusses that in the purport. Kunti herself was puzzled about whether Sri Krishna is pervasive or localized. He entered, Kunti experienced personally that Lord Krishna was present before her and yet entered within the womb of Uttara to save her embryo from the attack of Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. But even though you're existing inside and without, outside of everything, you're a laksham, you're invisible. So even though this is the puzzle, that even though Krishna is everywhere, he's inside and outside of everything, but still he is, yet you are invisible to all. In fact, he is both, but he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered soul. This checking curtain is called the Maya energy of the Supreme Lord, and it controls the limited vision of the rebellious soul. It is explained as follows. So now Kunti Dev is going to explain why we cannot see Krishna, even though he's everywhere, even though he's the Vastu, he's the substance of everything. Maya javani kakchanam agyadokshajam avyayam nalakshyase mudha drisha nato natya doroyata. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You're invisible to the foolish observer. It's just like an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So, what stops one from recognizing Krishna although he is everywhere? Maya Javanika, the Achanam. He's covered by the curtain of Maya, and he's irreproachable. It's the irreproachable factor covering by the curtain of diluting energy. So this is Maya. That our perception, although Krishna is everywhere, we cannot see him because of our consciousness and desires. This was explained extensively before, what Maya is. Maya is the energy of illusion. It makes Krishna's energy look like it's not Krishna or not connected to Krishna, due to the living entity's desire to enjoy, which Krishna facilitates by covering himself. Because the living entity, the sense of enjoyment or control can only be had in illusion, because Krishna is the enjoyer and controller. And therefore, by our desire for sense gratification, Krishna is covered. And therefore, Krishna is not approachable by the material senses. He's only approachable when we have the proper consciousness and attitude. We have actually the attitude to be his servant. And therefore, Krishna responding to that attitude withdraws the curtain of Maya. There's also, he says, you're invisible to the foolish observer. In other words, we're looking, but we cannot see. He said, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So when there's a drama, there's someone who's there, but he's dressed as someone else. And therefore, you don't recognize him, although in one sense you're seeing him. So when Krishna appeared, people could not recognize him because they're mudha drisha. Mudha means fool. They're foolish observers. So let's go to Prabhupada's purport and see how he's bringing out Kunti's point. Prabhupada says in the purport in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that the less intelligent person mistakes him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. The same is confirmed here by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. So this is, by devotion, we can actually realize Krishna. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita, Icha Dvesha Samutena, Dvandva Mohena Bharata, that we are separated from God by Icha and Dvesha, by our hate and our material desire. It's our consciousness that separates us from Krishna. Perception is not just dependent on the senses. By the senses alone, you cannot perceive something. The perception is also dependent on our mind. The mind is not focused on something, you cannot perceive it. Sometimes we may have walked into a room 100 times. And there may have been a painting that we never saw before. It's not that it didn't come by our senses, but our consciousness wasn't focused. It's also dependent on our intelligence. Unless you have the proper conception and understanding, you also cannot perceive something. Just an ordinary object. If you don't know what it is, you don't really perceive it. Let's say there's something like this tape recorder here, and a very primitive person looks on it because he doesn't have knowledge. He's not actually perceiving it. Or if you have the wrong conception about Krishna, you also don't perceive it. You'll see him as an ordinary man. And it depends on your heart. Perception also depends on the purity of your heart. If you are envious of someone, then you may not see his qualities. You may be looking at him, you may be thinking about him, you may know about his life, but if you're envious of someone, you may not see his qualities. Ichadvesha, because you have strong desire to be great, then even if this person is greater than you, because of your hate or envy, your competitiveness, you won't see it as so. So, even though, and Prabhupada gives in the purport, Krishna is accepted as God by so many authorities, and he mentions them, Vyas, Devala, Asita, Narada, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath. And although he performs so many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible, as we shall find in the 10th canto, still, there's a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. Demoniac mentality means that you want to be the enjoyer. And when you want to be the enjoyer, then you need to be independent to enjoy. And to be independent, then you have to defy authority. Because authority means there's certain restrictions on your activities. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and the present. So these are the two reasons. One, we have a poor fund of knowledge. We don't have the intelligence. We don't know God. We have misconception about Krishna. And partially due to the stubborn obstinacy, which is due to various misdeeds in the past and present because of sinful activities. Then we're impelled for material enjoyment. And therefore, to satisfy that material enjoyment, we cannot see God as the supreme enjoyer. Because that material enjoyment, I mentioned this before, material enjoyment is not just the activities of the senses, but it's the sense that I am great or superior. It's like you have so many rich people, they have everything they want for their senses, but they want to be the best. And if someone's better than them, they're not happy. So when you want to be the enjoyer, if someone is better than you, you're not happy. So due to our past sins, our past tendency to enjoy, we have this obstinacy. We don't want to see Krishna. It's not possible to know the Supreme Lord by imperfect experimental knowledge. He's described herein as a dokshaja, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge, just like savai pumso paro dharmo yato bhaktir dokshaja. All our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and anything, but we must admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. So our perception is also dependent on external conditions. And those external conditions are beyond our control. So we can only observe Krishna by Krishna's mercy, when he wants to appear, just like the story of Narada Muni that we read. You can't do it by his mechanical effort. He sat down, he meditated. Initially, Krishna appeared. He did the same thing, and then Krishna didn't appear. So he's beyond us. And then Prabhupada, his practical point is because this is so, and because we are less intelligent and we don't have devotion, then the Lord appears in his deity form, which is a way in which he can manifest to us even though we're foolish. Okay, text 20. Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartam katam pashyema hi stiya. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit, how then can we women know you perfectly? So, this is interesting. Paramahamsanam, the advanced transcendentalist, Muninam Amala Atmanam, those minds are competent to discern between matter and spirit. So, she wants to know then, how can us women know you perfectly who are less intelligent? Now, it's, I wouldn't say sarcastic, but there's humility in what she says. But in one sense, what she says, it's not true. And Prabhupada says in the purport, even the greatest philosophers, philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the supreme truth, the absolute personality of God, it is beyond the range of thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. One may go on thinking about him for years together, yet he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the queen who is playing the part of an innocent woman. So he's not known. He's not known by knowledge. But the Lord can only be known by his mercy, because he's beyond our intellectual and mental capacity. He's beyond our logic, which is based on how we perceive things working in this world, which are under his laws. But he's not under the laws of nature. He's beyond it. He is inconceivable. This verse in the Isha Upanishads will come up again and again. Tadejati, tadnayajati, taddure, tadvantike, tarantarasya, sarvasya, taru sarvasya vayata. He's near and far. He's inside. He's out. She saw. How can you understand? She became confused. Is he inside or outside? Because that's beyond the modes of material nature. That's beyond their intelligence. From our intelligence, something's either inside or outside, not both. So the Lord can only be understood by his mercy. He will not come under the control of knowledge. And we can attract his mercy only by our sincerity. And what does sincerity mean? It means that we want to serve and satisfy Krishna and become his devotee without any motive. It can only be known by our humility, our humbleness. I don't want to be God. I want to serve God. So even though she's saying, how can we women know her? That's her qualification. It's her desire to know Krishna. It's her desire to satisfy Krishna. It's her humility. The Lord is so kind, he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. So Prabhupada's mentioning how the natural quality of the women is they have this type of simplicity and sincerity. Or if we can say it's not necessarily, if qualities have gender, then we should also have these womanly qualities. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superior and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. A very famous verse coming up too. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. So she said that the Lord can only be known by his mercy, by his reciprocation to our service. In other words, he's approachable by by devotion. He's known. So to teach that Krishna can only be known by his devotees, the names of Krishna in relationship to his devotees are being chanted. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev. He's Vasudev. He's the pleasure of Devaki Nandana. The boy of Nanda, Nanda Gopa, Kumaraya, and the other coward men of Vrindavan, and the enlivened of the cows and the senses, Govinda. So this is how Krishna is known. He's known in he's known by our service to him and our love to him in our relationship with him. He's known to Vasudev because Vasudev is his father. He's known in relationship to his devotees. Purport, the Lord being thus unapproachable by any material assets out of unbounded and causeless mercy descends on the earth as he is in order to show his special mercy upon his unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac person. Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. He's approachable in this incarnation in relationship to his devotees. In other words, he's approachable in relationship to his devotees, not in relationship to our material assets or great knowledge. And sometimes people who misunderstand this, but our material assets, even if we're great analytical brains, even if we have knowledge of Sanskrit, even knowledge of Shastra, any material asset, if not used in the service of Krishna, will not allow us to approach him. And Kunti will explain this further. We'll go on. Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama Pankajamalane, Nama Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So, Krishna is described here as a lotus. First of all, it's just so beautiful. Lotus is the most beautiful flower. So sometimes something that is beautiful is called a lotus. Lotus feet, lotus eyes. Like Krishna has lotus eyes, big eyes, and they come very far, almost near his ears. Lotus feet. And the lotus is also a sign of good fortune. But the lotus, also, the nature of the lotus is when it's in the water, it remains untouched. In other words, you have a lotus, it has a certain coating where even it's in the water, it remains untouched by the water. So it also describes something that is transcendental. In other words, although Krishna is in the material world, he remains untouched. And this is important because Krishna was just described in terms of his relations. In other words, he has friends, he has father, he has mother. So one could think that Krishna is in the world like we're in the world. So therefore he's described as a lotus. Because a lotus is in the water and remains untouched. In fact, the lotus grows from mud, but it remains untouched. So similarly, even the Lord comes here, he's untouched. He remains transcendental. It's So she's offering obeisances to Krishna like this. And it's also noted here by Srila Prabhupada that he doesn't start with the face. It starts with the abdomen. And he says there, Srimati Kunti Devi, he says, one should not try to look at the face of the Lord without becoming accustomed to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Even in a chaste family, you may even have experience in your culture that the junior looks down, looks at the feet in a humble way. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet because the Lord might feel ashamed. Because Krishna would feel ashamed because that was his superior. It was his aunt. So just like she paid obeisances and Krishna would feel ashamed. And she did. And she didn't want to look at his lotus feet. And thus Kunti Dev, to save a painful situation for the Lord, because he'd feel uncomfortable. For example, if you can just think, if your teacher or your guru, you know, rendered you service or did something, you feel ashamed. Just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet. That is, from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face, and then down to the lotus feet. And around, everything there is in order. Prabhupada also mentions here, these names are very beautiful. It says, Pankajangri, the souls who are engraved with lotus flowers. So Krishna's feet are engraved with lotus flowers, and the feet themselves are lotus-like. And again, Prabhupada talks about deity worship. The Pankajanabi, Lord, Pankajamalini, who is always decorated with a garland of lotus flowers, just like we call the japa beads mala, because it's like a garland. So he had a garland of lotus flowers. And Pankajanabaya, who the center of his abdomen, his navel, is shaped like a lotus. So the Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, Prabhupada said. So that this beautiful lotus-like form of his can be available to the conditioned souls. And all such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers. And there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. So in the material world, it's lust, it's passion, it burns the heart, there's suffering. As described before by Narada Muni, fruit of activities which are painful from the very beginning. So the soothing, the temple should be such a otherworldly atmosphere where one could come and just focus his eyes on the lotus face of the Lord, and the Lord decorated with a lotus garland, and feel soothed. So Prabhupada was talking about all the great acharyas established such temples and worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent. And one should look at the Lord like there and meditate on him like this. Yatha Rishikesha Kalena Devaki Kamsena Rudha Chicharam Sucharpita Vimochitaham Chisahatmaja Vibo Tvayaiva Natena Mahur Vipadganat. O Rishikesh, Master of the Senses and Lord of the Lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So now Kunti is going to describe how her affectionate relationship with Krishna, how Krishna reciprocated with her, because she was completely dependent on Krishna. Krishna always protected her, just like when a child is always dependent on the mother. and the mother knows that the child is dependent, then the mother is also always so much care and affection is there. So she experienced this. And she mentioned how you release Devaki out of affection for your mother Devaki, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. But Prabhupada in the purport mentions that although he saved Devaki, Kamsa killed all her children who were born before Krishna. Krishna escaped the danger of child slaughter because he was transferred to the house of Nanda Maharaj. See, so Devaki, except for Krishna, all her children were killed, but Kunti Dev was shown far more favor because Lord Krishna did not save the other children of Devaki, whereas he saved the children of Kunti Devi. He saved the children of Kunti Devi. This was done because Devaki's husband Vasudeva was living where Kunti Devi was a widow and there was none to help her except Krishna. So because Kunti Devi was a widow, she was more in a situation of dependence and therefore received more protection and care from Krishna. The conclusion is that Krishna shows more favor to a devotee who is in greater dangers. Somehow he puts his pure devotees in such dangers because in that condition of helplessness, the devotee becomes more attached to the Lord. So this is, when Krishna puts us in a difficult situation, we're more dependent on him and he's more caring for us. So we experience more love for him and we develop more attachment. We always are in a helpless and dependent condition, but due to illusion, we sometimes don't realize it. We become proud. We think our intelligence can control everything and save us, or our wealth can control us. So when we have these illusions, sometimes Krishna puts us in a situation where we experience that the world is beyond our control. And therefore our shelter is not our own material assets, but our shelter is only Krishna. Because everything else is beyond our control and he's the supreme controller. And therefore we take shelter of him and then we experience his kindness and love. A very wealthy person who uses everything in Krishna's service will also feel dependent. Prabhupada, when he used to stay in Mathura for some time in the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math, Narayan Marj, I heard him speak like this. And he said that Prabhupada would come, or he would come and visit Prabhupada in his room, and Prabhupada had to take off his top cloth because Prabhupada had so many holes in his quilt, because Prabhupada at that time took sannyas and had no material position, very poor. He said, but what Prabhupada would talk about is the Pandavas, that although they control the whole, you know, although they're emperors of the whole world, they always felt, there's a verse later, Twam Akinchina Gotra, I have nothing. They always felt like that. Sometimes he puts his pure devotees in such dangers because in that condition of helplessness, the devotee becomes more attached to the Lord. The more the attachment is there for the Lord, the more success is there for the devotee. That's success, attachment for the Lord, not material circumstances. Because that attachment is our eternal position that brings us out of the material world. So she's going to describe further her difficulties. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darsanad Asatsavaya Vanavasya Kritrita Mrde Mrde Neka Maharatan Strito Dronyastritas Chasma Hare Barakshita. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from a weapon of Ashvatthama. So again, all her whole life, she just suffered like so much that later when Maharaj Yudhisthira goes before Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Dev begins to cry and says, oh, what terrible sufferings you experience. So many calamities, one after another. And Prabhupada here said, Devaki was once put into difficulty by her envious brothers. Otherwise, she was well. But Kunti and her sons were put into one difficulty after another for year and years together. And then when everything, at the very end, then the Brahmastra was released by Ashvatthama to kill the child within the womb of Uttara. So many difficulties, one after another, after another, after another. Which you'll see, Kunti will see as favorable because they gave her a type of realization that Krishna was the only protector and shelter, and Krishna protected them because of her need and dependence. James, this next verse is very, very famous verse, the most prominent verse in the chapter. Vipada shantuta shashvat tatta tatra jagat guru babato darsanam yatsyad apuna babadarsanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we can see you again and again. For seeing you means we will no longer see repeated birth and death. So although people come to Krishna to get rid of calamities, she's praying to have them again and again. Because her value system is that what is important to her is not her destiny, but how she reacts. She wants to react with dependence and devotion on Krishna. And she wants to be in a situation where that type of consciousness attracts the Lord's attention and mercy. And because she was in such a difficult situation, and which was favorable for that type of consciousness of dependence on Krishna, therefore Krishna was always there. So therefore, now that Krishna's leaving, she's praying, I was in a better situation when I was in such distress, because then you were here and you were protecting me. Now everything is well and now you're going. Better I have those calamities. Because in those calamities, I had the proper consciousness that would free me from the material world. Prabhupada says in the purport, constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord without liberation. The material world is certified by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Right, and less intelligent, you try to adjust the calamities, but they're inevitable. Because you're in the material world, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. It's like when you fall in a salt mine, everything tastes like salt. So in your material world, everything's like misery. You can't adjust it. So our duty is to be undisturbed and to suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes. One should make progress in spiritual realization because that is the mission of human life. Rather than trying to adjust everything, which you can adjust, you should just suffer your fate and make progress in spiritual realization. And then furthermore, when you do that, Prabhupada said, the spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. It's like a dream. Prabhupada says, a man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger and there's no suffering. It's simply a case of dreams. This material world, what's happening to us, we should adjust it by getting out, not by trying to change it. So to get out, we accept our fate and depend on Krishna and experience his care and protection and develop love for him. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. There's nothing inauspicious for a devotee. Everything is auspicious. Good or bad is auspicious, because everything coming by Krishna is meant to bring us closer to him. Okay, we'll end here. Are there any questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. No questions? Okay, we'll end.